If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
It's time for Early Break, sponsored by Pinnacle Bank. Live from Lincoln, America, here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I'm wrong, but I'm not.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
If I were a feral cat.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
You get one team. Mine's the Houston Oilers. I'm not the Texans, and I'm not the Titans, so I'm out.
This is Early Break.
Welcome back in on a Wednesday. Nick Sainer here for Jake Sorensen, who is out today under the weather. Tomorrow, TBD for Jake. But Steve Sipple, Bill Bush alongside as usual. Hour two of the show, sponsored by Pinnacle Bank. And so, once again, thanks to our friends at Pinnacle
Member FDIC.
Thank you.
Pinnacle Bank. Because if they're not member of FDIC, then they're not. They'll be thrown out of the banking business.
I figured that was
that would be
understood.
Just so you know. We have to. That's one of the standards. You have to.
They are a member of FDIC.
Member of FDIC, and Shindaddy invented that, and that's why your money is safe in the bank. I got notified by Brian Morrow yesterday about meeting up for a lunch meeting. He said he has a big announcement coming.
Wait a second.
I'm not sure what that is.
You guys are going to have lunch?
You can have lunch.
At Aragon?
Yes. It might be. I don't know. A basket of fries is like $14.
They've changed their hours recently.
Have they?
Yeah.
When's it open?
Not till I believe, after lunch.
Okay.
So lunch will not be at Aragon.
Like that. And the Peds will probably, we're trying to get that. We'll have to reestablish that with the Peds. Mm-hmm. We'll be meeting them. But I have a big lunch coming up with Brian Morrow.
The spirit animal
of Pinnacle Bank.
What is his job there?
He does everything. He'll work the windows, like that, the drive through, and then he'll make all the big loans, all the big developments. He's the one who got the whole deal together at PBA. He's the one. Do you know that? That Brian Morrow got that? Yeah, he's the one who got that together. So that's incredible. He's got a lot of things coming, and so he wanted to meet on it. And so there's big announcements coming. So we'll see what that is.
Brian Morrow. Ladies and gentlemen, do banks still have that sticker? You know, you saw the sticker in the window that said FDIC.
You have to display it.
You have to display it.
Are they federally
insured?
It
also has to be set on every advertising red. That's why I jumped in. If not, they're non-compliant if they don't do that. And they could have, Pinnacle Bank could have got shut down today all across the state. But we ended up, I got it, so we're fine. Yeah, so they're not shut down.
I'm not sure they would have been shut down.
There's a chance.
You're compliant.
Yep. You are the face of compliance. I didn't want to.
Remember when I was young, get Bill in there. He's very compliant. That'd be the last thing that was ever said.
I didn't want to steal anybody else's bit. I knew that was previously with
friend of ours. We used to do the whole member FDIC. I didn't want to steal the bit. I haven't been on since the new year began. So anyway, I was thinking about this before. This has been the first time in the last couple of months that Sips decided to join us when I filled in, Bill. The last couple of shows, it's been just you and I.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah,
you guys
been
on. Nice for you to stop by.
Gallivanting is where you were. Gallivanting.
Where was I?
I don't know, Vegas. You guys
were in Vegas.
Sick.
Both of you were in Vegas.
Sick. Yeah, you were sick one day.
Sick.
Yeah.
How you feeling, Bill?
What's that?
You feeling okay?
A little hazy. It's not going good. I'm telling you right now. It's not good. Immediately, if something like this said right away.
So we are getting texts about whether or not Jake should be allowed to come in tomorrow.
What is that? What is the concern?
Folks are saying, now I'm no medical professional. Mm. I've gotten multiple texts, one personal from our friend David, whose wife, LaDonna, is a nurse.
LaDonna.
But then we've also gotten some more from the text line that say he will still be contagious tomorrow, so do not show up to work, Jake.
Can we do a show in a mask, I wonder? I'll have to figure that out.
So I know that's the news you guys wanted to hear, is that there's a chance that I'm back tomorrow. But
is there any cardiologist chiming in?
There's
any cardiologist?
There's not been a cardiologist.
We're kind of between a rock and a hard place. You don't want Jake to come in.
Just stop right there. Actually, that's really good. Yeah. That's really good. Just stop right there. Clip it. Connor, can we clip that?
Yeah. Please. What do you do? What do you do in that situation?
Do you have Jake just come back on Monday?
Would you be okay with him coming in contagious?
I'm going to say no.
I don't know what to say on
Not
that.
Not even for you guys. I'm saying for me, no.
Like, what do you say?
Yeah, well, if you don't feel
it's
good.
It's a tough call.
I don't worry about it too much.
Because a lot of people say, no, you tough it out. Yeah. You just go. If you can sit up, you can do it.
I'm very much of the like just toughen it out type of crowd. But if you know you're contagious and you work in a space like this, it's a horrendous idea for you to come in.
Okay.
I think politically on this one, because of the room and the situation,
if you were in
and
your
it's
own
been
cubicle,
well documented too, if Jake hadn't really said much, just hadn't really, like, I don't know if I feel that great, and really he felt horrible, but just didn't really say much, you wouldn't think much of it. But now once there's been an absence, I think that's...
I think essentially what we're doing is encourage him to take tomorrow off.
Yeah, this was the text that I got yesterday because he has. He said, this was at 6:45 yesterday. So I feel like crap, but plan to power through. I do have a fever, but I think it'll go down. I said, I'm going to use my power to tell you to stay home. And he goes, it's not determined yet. I have felt a little better the last hour. And he said, it's a big day. And he goes, I'm considering what I want to do. Then he said at 7:52.
This is too much, really. Should be like a 4-minute text.
He goes, I'll be there tomorrow. Fever is breaking. And then he said, fever is broken at 8:07, 98 degrees. And then he followed up with, I will go in if you don't see this, but if you do and you wake up in time, I could really use you to fill in. Things got a bit pukey now.
Wow. It's a lot of stuff.
That was at 4 a.m. this morning.
I would probably send something like, can't make it, not good. That'd be it. Jake went with some details there. Okay.
Yep. Wow. So there's the up for Jake.
I love this stuff.
So there you go. Guys, as we move on, our two sponsored by our friends at Pinnacle Bank, member FDIC. But Nebraska, the news was made official by multiple USC sites yesterday.
Is that right?
Mike Eckler is indeed leaving Nebraska to become the special teams coordinator and more than likely, I think I read, linebackers coach for USC.
Have they
USC.
Said that?
They have not specifically said linebackers coach, but for special teams coordinator. But either way, that he is not going to be on staff next year at Nebraska. That's the main part of it. This has been something that we've kind of expected to
What
hear.
Took so long, Steve? Because it was reported like 2 weeks ago, right?
No, this was
or
very...
a long time ago.
Yeah, this wasn't... I mean, I hardly even regarded it as news. I mean, we all knew he was leaving.
Yeah.
USC was the job. Now, the thing that's, I think, the most... I mean, I want to know what he's doing because I think the reason he left is he wanted to coach a position. So is he coaching a position?
I think that was one of them. Yeah.
Is he coaching a position at USC? And nobody seems to know.
Well, USC hasn't made the hire official yet, but sources have confirmed to reporters that the hire is done.
Okay. So now what? Nebraska maybe turned the job. Rule has said he'll probably keep it in-house. I'm going to build up to a Bill question here. He's probably keep it in-house, right? Josh Martin.
I think you have to keep it in-house at this point. Yeah. I think that's your one choice.
You have a system in place, right?
Yeah.
Now, but the thing that makes a lot of coaches effective is the way they run their room on a daily basis, right? I mean, there's a system in place, but you still got to address the players every day. You got to inspire. You have to be organized. Yeah, there's a system. I get it. But who are you putting in front of them every day? I mean, Bill, how big was that in your day when you coached special teams, that initial meeting every day? How much did you put into that?
Yeah, it was – well, obviously, you're the coordinator, so it's everything. And there is an advantage to, you know, kind of one common voice. There's different ways to do it. I've seen where it's been, you know, like I said, like at Ohio State, the one common voice was Urban Meyer. He ran the meeting. Urban ran the meeting. The head coach and Kerry Combs was the coordinator. And Kerry was up in front of people. But every meeting that started, head coach started the meeting. And so it was that
specials.
Grabbed great attention in with who was up and what they were doing. So people have different parts and pieces to it. But sometimes it is interesting when all of a sudden you're having, you know, comments and you're trying to keep all this stuff kind of square in your head of who your core guys are. And then when you're just say you're setting your travel roster and all of a sudden, okay, we're traveling, we're going to Penn State. Okay, who are going to travel? Or who are the ones that you're core? So instead of just being one guy that can just say, well, we really need to have him and we really, and I know that this guy's on your depth chart, you know, as your third tight end or whatever, but he's on no special teams, just so everyone knows. And but this guy is on every special teams, and he's your fourth tight end. And so those kind of conversations where one guy generally has the feel of the depth chart overall between everyone. If not, there is what happens is generally there's a few more meetings that go on because you have to kind of get yourself together with like, okay, you're going first, you're doing punt. Then I'm up right after that, and I'm going to go over kickoff return and what the drills of the day and all those starts of it are. So – And who says they're not doing that? I said if it's done by committee, there'll probably be one voice to start things off. But sometimes it's like in most parts, it's like, you know, what do you hear now in offense? There's a run game coordinator. There's a pass game coordinator. Who do you talk to? You talk to the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to the run game coordinator. I don't want to talk to the pass game coordinator.
Yeah.
I want to talk to the coordinator.
Right. Somebody's got to be in charge.
And so there's always so there's different ways to look at it. But anyway, can be effective to be able to do it. So but yeah, so I would imagine they'll probably have one voice that does it.
That's the question.
That kind of is like the lead voice. Maybe they're not the lead coach on each team. You know, like that was like, hey, I'm the lead voice, but you got punt return or you have this.
Who's leading the meeting every day? I'm a little fixated.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
To me is important though.
It's very important. Anytime that someone goes up in front of the team, they better be good.
Right.
I mean, no matter what position like that, they have to, and knowledge is power. And sometimes it doesn't have to be overly dynamic. I've seen some people get up there before. They're like, hey, this person's really dynamic, but they don't know. They don't have the what you know good enough. Don't put them up there. You know, some can be a little bit dry. But the what they know is so good and so detailed. So it's not about just being like, you're not an entertainer. This isn't, you know, this isn't Dean Martin getting up there. And so it's got to have somebody that, I bring that up because my dad's been watching some old Dean Martin stuff on YouTube. I called him the other day and he goes, watching that Dean Martin stuff again. It's incredible. Just go to YouTube. You can just Google it. Whatever.
Dean Martin's a doozy.
He's a doozy. But anyway, so that the what you know when you get up there has to be really good. Mm-hmm. And then also... You know, I know like when I took over for that 1 year here on special teams was we are a morning practice team. Mm-hmm. So it's like, man, you better then. So it was a big juice to start the thing off.
At what time?
7 o'clock.
You started the day, right?
7 o'clock. So you had to start the day of everyone in there. We got to go. We're going to be on the field and what's going on.
That's a big part of the day.
The part that probably is a little bit harder also would be for the video crew. Because if I was running or if Eckler was whoever is running the he would be the one dealing with the media. Not the media, but with the film crew. Hey, these are the clips I want. Here's exactly what I want. Here's my PowerPoints. Here's my depth charts. I only met with just the here's exactly my presentation for the day. Exactly. I had an assistant, Joey Connors, who helped me. We had it down to a deal. If you happen to have a day, say it's a Thursday or Friday, and you're going to cover every phase, right? All phases you're going to cover like that. Well, then that's four different people that have to do their presentation and get it up and ready to go. So there's four people coming into the video person saying, okay, I've got punt. So I need to have this, this, and this. This is my punt section. The next guy comes back in. Then how do you handle the, you know, the I use the term score team, which is your PAT field goal team or the block team. Like on, I always met separately with the score team. So Coach Raiola would bring the offensive line in. I'd have the tight ends there. We always brought donuts in for just those guys. And we went over what to expect, what we would see. We showed all the look. We walked through stuff we had. That was a specialty meeting also. So just a lot of specialty meetings. So
do you know, is that elaborate, Swim?
I do. Yeah. I think it's...
That's really elaborate.
My mind's kind of going in a couple of different directions because it's that angle as well. I think the other side that I'm looking at it as, if Mike Eckler moved on, and let's say he's only doing special teams coordinator, doesn't that feel odd?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It might be more notable.
Yes.
That's why
I wondered yesterday, and I didn't see the reports where he's coaching. I did see one report earlier in the week that in the midst of the report, it said it's also believed he'll be coaching linebackers. But that's as far as I've seen.
Now,
Steve, you're an insider. You're a Husker insider. That's what you are.
Sean will be the main one. But
Was that the number one thing?
In my mind, he
left because he wanted to coach a position.
The
fans want to know, Steve.
I mean, I will say this. I know that. I mean, there's things, Swim, you understand. Bill, you understand. Like, when you get in my role, a lot of what you're talking about, a lot of speculation. A lot of it's speculative. That's not speculative. I know he wanted to coach a position. I know that. I don't mind saying it on the air. Now, was that the reason? I think it was high. I mean, if there's three, it's one of them.
Well, it also might be a goal.
Do you agree, Swim?
Yeah, it's high on the list.
It also might be a goal situation, which I don't know, because if you talk to Coach Eckler, it would be maybe his goal is to be a defensive coordinator. And so if he's done before. So if you want to be has he been a DC?
I'm gonna look.
I believe he was. Maybe. He was at a smaller school. I can look it up real quick here.
But my point would be, if you want to be a DC, then you need to be coaching a position on defense. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, that was one because
I think he's a co.
He was the defensive coordinator at North Texas.
Okay.
In 2016, he was the co defensive coordinator at Indiana from 2011 to 2012. Also, don't forget, he was part of that Lane Kiffin staff in 2013 at USC.
Okay, things I know. So, okay, things I know, Bill. There's things I do know, and that's what I like to talk about. I know Mike Eckler told me, I don't know, I'm gonna say a year ago or so, that he wanted to be the best special teams coordinator in America. Never say anything about defensive coordinator.
Yeah. So that's one of the, like I said, the things that come up with that might be your goals of what you're trying. You always say if your habits and don't match, you know, what you're doing, then to get to your goal, you have to change your habits or change your goals. It's one of the two. And so if his habit was I want to be a D coordinator, then I need to be part of this. If I want to have this, I want to be part of this. You never know all the little things. Also, things can change quick for you in this profession. All of a sudden, it's like, wow. So maybe there's another reason. Maybe there's something in California. He's been there before. Whatever it is, he knows Lincoln Riley well. Who knows what all those other things are? But usually, it's kind of based off of that.
There's been some confusion in the fan base because he was so all in when he got here, and a lot of it was some of it was family oriented.
Yeah,
yeah. Being from the state, right? Being from
David
the state,
City. Yeah, David City.
All right, so just statistically, Nebraska, Mike Eckler in his one season at Nebraska, the punt coverage unit went from 114th in the country to 14th. Kickoff return unit went from 100th in the country to 13th. And punt returns teams went from 111th to 17th in the country.
He had success.
In one season.
You know what his boss, though, is his boss. It was interesting. So there's success. And you, in some ways, you'd say there's a lot of success. But man, his boss tempered it on Friday, didn't he? He said we were good. We showed a lot of improvement early in the season and middle of the to the middle of the season. But our goal was to be better than Iowa in special teams, and we weren't.
I would ask this: was special teams the reason you lost the Iowa game?
No.
Well, there was an error, though, there, right? There was a punt return error, right? In the ball, when we fumble a punt on that
there
game?
They had trouble. That's where...
I thought Iowa recovered a ball.
I told you this, Sip, on the... after we heard Matt Rhule on the radio show, right? It just felt a lot like damage control.
Yeah, getting out in front
of
it.
Because
he anticipated
And it was like a, hey... Let's just think about this in terms of the big picture over the course of the last 2 weeks since this really started to heat up, and Mike Eckler, who was 2 weeks ago fan favorite on the staff because of the success that he had, and you have the Nebraska connection, people love his energy, and for a couple of other reasons. And it gave people an opportunity when they heard Matt Rhule come out and say, look, we're okay. We have plans for this if and when Mike Eckler leaves, and we want people that want to be here at Nebraska. And don't forget, I wanted to be here at Nebraska. It just felt a lot like damage control. And it gave, frankly, the fan base a chance to settle in with the news. And then when it comes out yesterday, everybody's like, okay, you know, it's no big deal.
Well, and the other thing he said was we tried to keep him. I mean, we gave him a hefty raise in the middle of the season, put it on his desk, didn't sign it. So, yeah, he got out in front of it. He anticipated a wave of negativity, and it's been there. I do think, now here's the thing, his side of the story, there's some validity to it.
Which side?
Well, that they wanted to keep him, and the other part of this is, to be fair, when he came here, he came as a special teams coach. I don't think there was ever a discussion of, yeah, and we'll eventually make you a linebackers coach.
I think that there is something to say about, I don't want to sit here and act like Mike Eckler's been like a world-renowned linebackers or outside guys coach or anything like that in his time. He did have success at it at Tennessee, and I think at times Mike Eckler probably looked at Nebraska's defense and said, okay, that's one of the deficient areas on defense.
100%.
And I think he looked at it and had probably conversations with Matt Rhule.
100%.
About, I mean, I could say this. I know he had conversations about Matt Rhule of like, hey, man, like, yeah. I've put 20-plus guys in the league. Why aren't I being 20 considered?
20-plus.
In his career. Yeah. In his career.
But anyway, yeah. And then the complicator is what? They hired a new defensive coordinator.
Sure.
And you know what? Rob Arch coaches, linebackers. So now, what are you going to do? You have your new guy comes in, defensive coordinator. He's going to coach linebackers with an original Rhule staff member, Rob Dvorak.
Yeah,
not really a position there for you. Okay, I can coach edges. No, the defensive coordinator's bringing in Roy Manning. That's one of his guys. I just think he got aced out.
Yeah,
there was no position for him. I mean, Orich had say so in this, and that's it. I mean, I think he just got aced out. Basically, there wasn't a spot.
I love the term aced out. I mean, that's I've heard
when
that for
we
a while.
Kids.
Yeah, it was. He got aced out.
He got aced out.
I love you. That was incredible.
Phraseology.
Journalism. Just journalism at its finest. Got aced out.
He got aced out.
Hold it. Can you do sixth grade simple? Got aced out.
Well, I mean,
do it. Come on, or do Marty getting aced out?
Steve, did he just get aced out?
Let's go to break. Bill's Thrills in the Game Show coming up next.